Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you. Hey friends, welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. I'm Lee Brown, coming at you during coronavirus time in my dining room or my fancy corner over here. And I'm very honored to have Dave Foster with me on the show. Dave, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here.
All right. So tell everybody where you're located besides a room with a very nice chair rail in it.
Absolutely. Well, if I turned it around, you would be looking at Reddington Shores Beach. So I'm not going to do that to anybody, but I will tell you that there is maybe as many clouds in the sky today as there are trees in Amarillo. So don't cry for us. We're doing okay.
I see my window outside. I got a cherry tree is finishing blooming. My wisteria is finishing and it's going to be 85 today and the first of April in North Carolina. It's good stuff.
And I'm pretty sure if you go into your backyard, you can get a suntan and maintain social distance.
That's pretty much the plan as soon as I finish my calls today is to stand out there and work on my tan. So this is my goal is to have this. I'm a runner,
there you go.
But I want to have as much tan line as I can under my watch.
That's awesome.
So Dave, tell us what you do in regard to real estate. How long have you been in the business, in what space, and give us a little background on
it. Well, I'm one of those crazy can't get enough real estate, never saw an investment he didn't like, entrepreneur kind of guys. About 20 years ago, my wife and I were both in different occupations and we had a son, our oldest son, and life changed. And we said, my gosh, how can we get off the corporate wagon? Because this kid was better than TV. I mean, we just said, watch, right? So how can we structure the rest of our lives that we can maximize family and not sacrifice our lives to a career? And this was the last real estate rush before the great crash and the one before that. And we kind of hit on real estate as a great way to invest and get that kind of freedom. So I just dove right in and I bought a duplex in Denver. All my Denver friends laugh at me because I think I got it for less than $100,000. Can't touch Denver for that right now.
But triple that, you can't touch Denver.
Yeah, no kidding. So I put all kinds of work in it, fixed it up, sold it. I was fat and sassy till I talked to my accountant. And, you know, accountants are always the greatest killjoys in the world. And he said, man, you would have made a lot of money if you didn't have to pay these taxes. And I was floored. I just could not believe how much work had gone into how little profit I actually made. And I said, well, this is not going to work as a model to get out of the corporate life in a quick way. And fortunately, you've probably got the same kind of friends, the ones that are close enough that they're allowed to make fun of you all day long. Yeah, we've all got them, right? My friends were laughing, going, ha, ha, ha. Guess what? There was a tax law change in this obscure part of the code, and we're actually starting a business that's going to let people sell investment real estate, buy investment real estate, and not pay the taxes. It was called the 1031 Exchange, and it had just got through a major court case. And I just kind of said, holy crap, count me in. And so for the last 20 years, in addition to doing these for myself, I've been doing them for others to help them save taxes. So that's kind of the 20-year synopsis of what caused this whole critter to come about.
So for those of us that believe in the hashtag taxation is theft, we totally know the 1031. And so when you're doing 1031s, if you're a real estate person listening to this, you need to call your broker and get educated quickly because it's an amazing thing to know about. If you are a consumer listening to this or watching this, I keep forgetting I'm on video now, you need to find out from a real estate pro what 1031s mean, because what Dave just said is this is how you invest in real estate and avoid paying big capital gains, because if you've bought correctly, you're going to have gains. And we in real estate are of the mindset that if you own it, you really don't want to let go of it unless you're going to let go of it to leverage it up to something else. So Dave, when somebody's buying rent investment real estate like yourself, and you've been in all these different markets and different angles of the business, I know you've seen some crazy shit. And so in crazy shit, this could be something you saw that you wished you had purchased, or something you purchased that you wished you had not purchased, or just a, I can't believe this happened to me kind of a moment, which almost is buying a duplex in Denver for under $100,000, which today's listener and viewer is like, that ain't even real. But yeah, young friends out there, just trust us, old guard. We will tell you that if we could go back 20 years in our lives and buy more real estate, we would go back 20 years and buy more real estate. And so, Dave, give us a synopsis of what you've seen, or what Vicky's seen, or what y'all have seen in working in real estate together in the investment space.
Crazy shit. There's a couple of things. Number one is the positive crazy of what we did. We actually turned a real estate investing career across four different markets and into a sailboat that we lived on for 10 years.
Lived on?
Without paying a penny.
Lived on?
Real estate tax, yes.
Like full time?
With all four boys.
Like that was
boys.
Your house?
With all four boys. That's crazy.
That's a whole different crazy episode of things. So if you're a parenting podcast, Dave should be your guest, and Vicky too, how they survived that. But all right, so how did you get a sailboat free and clear? Did you use real estate money to do that?
Absolutely.
Wait a minute, did it count as a houseboat with 1031 because you lived on it?
Well, that was the thing I was always trying to make happen, but it doesn't. So because I never say never, what I did was I found a way. So Lee, as a real estate professional, you know, there's the 1031 side for investment real estate. And then there's section 121, which is your primary residence. Now that's the other great get out of tax gig. If you live in a property that you own for 2 out of the 5 years prior to selling it, as a married couple, you can take the first $500,000 in profit tax free.
And friends, yeah, you better know, the reason we have that is Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina, because during the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, they almost changed it to 5 out of 8 years to get the exemption Dave's talking about. But Senator Tim Scott kept it at 2 out of 5 because he understands how important that is to people. So if you're in South Carolina, you better always vote for Tim Scott. And if you're not in South Carolina, you should send him a thank you note, because I am so grateful.
Well, send and vote for him also. You know, that's how it is. You vote often, you vote early. We'll all come in and vote for him.
Right? You're a Democrat, right? Vote often.
Exactly. So, right. So there's those two parts of the code. Now, here's the really cool thing that people don't know. And that is that as opposed to this being a once in a lifetime deal, like it used to be, you can now do this once every 2 years. So stats tell us what the people live in their houses around 5 years or so usually. So over the course of a nice, decent, long life, you will probably have the opportunity 8 or 9 times to take profit tax free. That you put it in your pocket, you do what you want with it. You're never going to pay the tax on it. That's the most incredible thing you could ever have. So, but here's what Dave's twisted mind figured out a long time ago. And that is that while 1031 is to sell investment real estate and then buy investment real estate, you do not have to keep that as investment real estate forever. So what we embarked on at that time was a series of moves where we would do 1031 exchanges with a lot of profit, and then we would purchase new investment real estate with really nice houses. And a year or two later, we would then move into those houses and turn them into our primary residence. And as soon as we did that, now we got to live in them for 2 years. And then when we sold, all of the profit, including the profit while it was investment, went into our pockets tax-free. And by the time we had done that several times, that's what let us then take the cash to go buy the boat.
So remember, people, he's not breaking the law here. He's just going through a pain in the ass every couple of years moving. And so moving companies probably owe you some real money because you have really paid movers. But there's a way to do this. And that's part of the crazy shit in real estate, is that Our parents stayed in houses for 30 and 40 years because that was what their parents did. But if you want to find a way to build your investment portfolio, you can do it. It's going to be painful, right? So nothing's easy in life, and it's possible. Just make sure that you're talking to your accountant, that you're following the dates and the rules appropriately, because Dave and I are not tax advisors or attorneys. We're just telling you there are tax code out there that benefits you, and it's a pain, but it's doable. So right. In doing that process, Dave, what is the craziest thing that's ever happened to y'all in doing the roll up through houses?
Well, for us personally, one of our houses that we ended up selling became a movie set.
What kind of movie?
It was actually a major motion picture that nobody's ever seen called Reservation Road. It was so, no one offense, bad. I'm not going to tell you who the stars are.
Like Ishtar Bad?
But what, yeah, maybe worse, because we couldn't even get in to see it before it went to DVD. That's how bad it was. If you missed opening night, you missed the Hulk in my house. Yes. So yeah, that was
kind of brag about having a movie set house, right?
Not everybody gets that, and that's okay. But that was the impetus. That's what ended up then taking us down to Florida, where we were able to buy that boat. So that whole idea of that conversion is huge. You're absolutely right. While these kinds of opportunities exist, you've got to be very strategic about them. But by the way, before I tell you my really batshit crazy story, I was listening to your podcast from a couple of weeks ago, I think. And one thing your listeners need to understand is that I think the realtor there was talking about the hoarder house. Do you remember that?
That was pretty bad.
Same episode as the pot house. And I got to tell you, I was so disappointed that you didn't get to the porn house that I'm going to listen to the next episode to see if you make it. But yeah, but in that house, what was she talking about? All the piles and piles of junk. When you have your spouse on board to sell your primary residence and take the tax-free money, you're going to sell more quickly. That's less time to hoard. So you're always...
That's a good point.
Thank you. Yeah. So one of the cool things, I have a realtor on St. Pete Beach that has bought three identical condos using 1031 exchange. And I mean, they're on the same floor. They're just doors from each other. And what he's going to do as a retirement plan is he will, when he's ready, move into the first one. So he converts it from investment to his primary residence. He has two other investment condos on the same floor, and they're going to live there. How long are they going to live there? As his wife said, when it's time to redecorate, we're just moving. And they're going to gather their friends, and they're going to move two doors down.
Stop.
Next property.
Are you serious? They're going to move up and down the hallway.
And at every time, they're going to carve out. Now, the rules have changed because my picture is in the IRS office somewhere. The rules have changed so that now you don't get all of the profit tax free. You have to prorate it. But still, every time they move throughout retirement, they will be taking a portion of money and putting it in their pockets tax free. That is a whole lot better than bagging groceries at the Kroger.
Absolutely.
For a retirement job.
Although in Florida, that'd be the Albertsons, really. Nobody really.
The Albertsons at the public, yeah.
Albertsons.
Exactly.
All right. So, Dave, in all your investments that you've ever done, are you going to tell us your batshit story, or do you want to give a piece of advice?
No, I'll give you the batshit story. So the thing about these 1031 exchanges, and they require the use of a qualified intermediary.
Yes.
Those are people like us. We are generally attorneys and accountants. I'm a firm full of attorneys. I'm the redheaded stepchild accountant. So they set me in a corner and then talk legal, and we do fine. But you have to use a QI. So that's the quarterback that takes you through this to make sure you're staying straight with the law. So, and along with that, because as you can imagine, the IRS isn't exactly thrilled with people not paying taxes. But they have to let you do it. They just don't have to make it easy. So there is a ton of regulatory hoops to jump through. But with a QI, you'll make it just fine. It's awesome. So one of those hoops, though, is that the type of real estate and how you use it matter very much. Real estate that qualifies for 1031 exchanges has to be real estate that you intended to hold for productive use. So there's an implication. It's a long-term kind of thing. So folks like, man, up where you're at, the fixer flipper market was massive for a bunch of years. Right. But the problem is, if your intent was primarily to resell it, you could not do a 1031. The IRS is very stringent about that. So I get a call from a guy up in Tennessee. Dave, I want to do a 1031 exchange. And so one of the things I always do is we talk and, you know, I try to pre-qualify and let them know what kinds of things, find out if it's going to work for them or not. And he said, yeah, I just bought this property last month. So red flags, you know, started going off. I said, well, you know, 1031 is really only for property that you intended to hold for use, not for property you wanted to fix and flip. So I'm not sure it's going to work. He goes, well, but Dave, it was in my sales agreement with the seller that I had to honor the lease in place, which had 2 more years to run.
Oh.
Because the tenant was a friend of the seller. He said, so I really did buy this thing intending to hold it in honor of the lease. It's in that contract. I said, well, okay, that sounds good. I still kind of wanted to wink, wink at him, right? I said, that's good, but you're selling it after a month. That doesn't look good. I said, that really still looks like you've got something going on where you wanted to sell it. He goes, well, it could be the bear. I said, what? He goes, yeah, the bear that moved in beside her trash can. And so she left after a month because she was scared of the bear.
So like the actual, like a real life bear, like a bear.
Like a real live Yogi Bear. Forget COVID-19. We're losing tenants because of wildlife.
I think it's probably a legit buzzer. Did the 1031 go through, and did the IRS fight over that? Or they let it go?
Well, very few 1031s are ever audited. So it's one of those things where you've really got to pre-qualify yourself well.
But people never assume that won't be you. Just because it's not many, don't assume it's not you. Always assume you're going to be.
That's exactly correct.
Always.
So usually the advice I give is don't do something just because you think you can get away with it. But also don't not do something just because it will be questioned. So, I mean, by the time we got through that, I went, what field agent from the IRS is going to argue with a bear? And so, yeah, he did the 1031.
I think it was a few, but it wouldn't last long.
No. Oh, yeah, don't get me started. That might be kind of fun to watch, wouldn't it? I'd pay for view that one.
All right. So give our listeners and viewers, and remember, we got a lot of people who watch the podcast and listen to it that aren't real estate professionals. They're like regular
right.
people. So give them your best piece of investment real estate advice. That you can give them one. What's one thing? What's the one thing they should know about investment real estate?
You make money when you buy. That's always been true, right?
Yes. Thank you. Too many people are like, oh, you make it when you sell. I'm like, no, that's the after effect of what happened when you bought.
You make it when you buy. So you got to find the right property, right price, right circumstances. But here's part B to that. You keep your money when you sell.
Yes.
When you buy it right. And when you sell, you make the moves that allow you to keep the most profit in your pocket. And one of those things is the 1031 exchange. And because if you do 1031 exchanges through your life, you don't even have to do something crazy like we did with the primary residence. As long as you own that property, you'll never pay the tax. As long as anytime you sell that property and do another 1031 exchange, you'll never pay the tax. And here's where it gets really crazy. I'm loving that word today. That's the most awesome podcast name I've ever heard. Where it gets really crazy is that when you die owning real estate, doesn't matter if there's $100,000 or $1 million in tax that's built up behind you. Your heirs get it as if they paid market value for it on the day you die. So that tax goes away. So Dave's advice, buy it right, sell it, and sell it in the right way. And enjoy that tax. Make money for yourself instead of for the government. They're doing fine on their own. And when you die, give the lasting legacy to your heirs. That's the 1031 way.
And guys, you should know that because of all the legislative hoo-ha around coronavirus, there's likely to be a lot of investment money that is going to leave places like California and New York and move to more friendly markets. So, Dave, how can realtors or consumers find you if they need some qualified intermediary help? What's the best way to find you?
Yeah, the best way to get hold of me is at the1031investor.com. And if you go there, one of the things that I've seen is that this is such an underused statute because of education.
Correct.
That I have really made my mark over 20 years in educating people about it. And when they find out they need it, then we're there to help them. But on that the 1031investor.com, we have a YouTube channel of videos, articles, calculators, everything, including my face that's made for radio.
Man,
and we can take care of it.
You don't have Vicky's face there?
You know, I should, but then they'd spend too much time looking at her. And by the way, Lee, just for your folks today, anybody that comes into you out there, there's also a way to start your 1031 order. And if you go to 1031investor.com/podcast, we will give them $50 off their first order through you.
Look, there you go, guys. You get a coupon. Yay, free stuff. So I know y'all weren't writing anything down. It's okay, because all of Dave's information is in the show notes for this episode, including the specific URL to get to your $50 off. Just make sure that you ask questions, y'all. These code things are there, and the IRS has over 68,000 pages of tax code. Nobody understands the whole bit. So if you start to find places where you can take advantage, it's not taking advantage when it's a legal place that's there. You got to learn about it. So get educated on Dave's website. Dave, thank you for coming on the show and for providing us some information. And if you run into a bear, it's not up to me. It's not up to Dave, and it's up to your tenant. So just roll with it.
Great to be with you today, Lee.
Guys, make sure you subscribe for more episodes. Give me 5 stars. I need reviews. Give me 5 stars. And otherwise, we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.